Blog Talk Radio.
Difficulty in the beginning, but everything is fine now, and we are right here. So we're going to get started. I want to just say hello to everyone and welcome to this edition of Christian Talk. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody. And I want to say a hearty hello to my wife.
Hello, hello. I want to say hello to all our friends and family all over the world. God bless you for tuning in. And we're going to have a really good time in the Holy Spirit tonight.
Yes.
And we got such a beautiful guest tonight that we love
yes.
spiritually. And our brother in the Lord, can't wait for that. And also, I know, Pastor T, you want to tell the people. Well, I'll tell them for you. Because I'm very, very happy about your new book that you have out called Who Is
oh,
God?
Yeah.
Unveiling
yes.
the Mystery and of Who He Is. It's just no one can ever tell you who God is. God has to reveal Himself to you, Himself.
Yeah.
But it'll give you a good little revelation of some of the things that God kind of revealed to us about who He is. But I think for eternity, we'll always be trying to figure out who He is and how great He is, because He always is
yes.
expanding in greatness.
Yes. And the book is available right now on Amazon, so I encourage all of you to buy the book and read it. Buy it and read it, and then buy it for friends or family members. It's a blessing. This book will be a blessing to you if you go ahead and purchase it. Okay, we're trying to get the word of God out. A lot of prayer is over this book, and I believe that you will be blessed if you just sit back and read this book and just be in an attitude of praise and worship as you read, so that you can get the goodness from out of it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon the book. So go ahead and do that, okay? Okay, and another thing
Amen.
I want you to do right now, I would like you to pick up your phones. You're going to pick up your phones and grab your computers, go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our dial-in number is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or you can just click on the picture or the link wherever you see our post for this particular show if you choose to just listen from your computer. You can listen from your computer. You might see our post on Facebook, Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. But just go ahead and click on the post for this show. If you see the picture or the link, click on it, and you can listen to it from your computer. On Facebook, you can listen to it tonight and all this week. Wherever you see the post, just click on it, okay? And don't forget that we're on HSBN.TV. Our show is called The Message of Life. You can watch us on HSBN.TV or on YouTube, on many other TV apps and platforms and social media, okay? Even Facebook Live, so watch out for that, okay? You can find The Message of Life on social media, TV apps, platforms throughout the week, like to name a few, On Demand, Roku, iHeartRadio, many, many more. Just type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tusila McCain. And, okay, last thing. Oh. We would like to invite you to come and visit our church, Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. We're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Come this weekend. Our services start at, guess what, 1:30 p.m. 1:30 in the afternoon, so come and visit, okay? You will be blessed. You'll be very, very, very blessed, okay? Don't go away. We'll be right back with our guests. Hang in there. Don't go away.
Well,
stay there.
Now it's Sunday morning, and I believe I'll go to church today. It's Sunday morning, and I believe I'll go to church today. You see, I'm gonna get down on my knees, oh, and pray some of these blues away. Lord, have mercy. I'm not gonna stay out late at night, cussing and drinking with my old friend. I'm not gonna stay out all hours of the night, cussing and drinking with my old friend. Thank you.
are listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. And wait, well, hold on here. What's going on here? What's this? What is this? What's this noise? Do you hear that, Pastor Tasila? Hold on. What is That's it. It's that time. It's time for our special guest for today. And guess what? Who our special guest is? Our special guest for today is Arthur Forbes Jr., a very dear friend of ours for many years. Arthur Forbes Jr. is with us today. And I just want to say, hey, Arthur, how you doing, man? How's it going?
I'm well. How are you?
Oh, hi,
we're doing
you?
Just fine.
I'm doing good.
And we're
doing
excited.
Good. Pastor's T. T, double T. T and T.
Double T. And we're excited to have you on the show. But first, I'm going to tell the people a little bit about you, and then I'll just let you tell the rest. Okay, into a Christian family. Arthur Forbes Jr. was born into a Christian family. He was the firstborn of Arthur and Gertharine Forbes. So that means you came from good stock, my brother. Okay?
Yes, yes. And that's age. And let it be known that they're pastors.
Yes, and they are pastors. That's right, Pastor Arthur and Gertharine Forbes. At an early age, Arthur was joined. I'm sorry, he was drawn to the things of God at an early age. As early as 3 and 4 years old, he started preaching at 3 and 4. When Arthur would go and visit with his grandparents, Jack and Catherine Jones, all his family from his mother's side would be there. His grandparents would get soda boxes, and he would stand on top of it, because, you know, he was 3 or 4 years old, and would preach whatever the word of God, whatever God would give him. Whatever the word that God would give him, he would preach it. At that early age, people would come from all over town to hear Deacon Jones' grandson and would yell out, "Preach!" You must have really been preaching, man. They would take up an offering for him, and he would get it. They would give it to him. And he became so inspired that he knew he had a calling in his life, even at that age. When he was 15, he joined St. Paul AME Church in San Bernardino and would sing in the Angelic Youth Choir. And he would also sing lead. And then he became president of the youth department. Ladies and gentlemen, there's so much more to this man, but let's just stop there. I'd like to introduce Arthur Forbes Jr. Yeah. You hear the crowd? Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here. You know, it's good to be here. It's good to be alive. I used to hear people in the church, maybe even old deacons, be praying, "Lord, thank you for touching me this morning with a fingertip of love and clothed in my right mind with the activity of my limbs." And today, I understand that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Today,
I understand that.
Because, you know, there's several people that went to bed last night that didn't wake up.
That's right.
And if they woke up, they couldn't move. They woke up, their mind wasn't right. They were thinking, like we just saw here in Southern California a couple of weeks ago, that man just went off and, you know, shot a bunch of people, killed a bunch of people. His mind got messed up, you know?
Right.
But I thank the Lord that the Lord said, if I keep my mind stayed on him, that he would keep me in perfect peace.
Perfect peace. Amen.
So today, So I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I don't know how or why. It was really something that when I was a little boy, you know, we went to a Methodist church, St. Paul AME Church in Berkeley. And
right.
My dad and mom, they had Christian principles, but they were not living a spirit-filled life. And then I would go with my grandmother, my mother's mother, and my grandfather and go to their church, which was a Baptist church. And I would see the preacher, you know, and they get that tune and all that when I was a little boy. So I started mimicking that. I started getting that. And then God would give me stuff to say. I have what you call a photographic memory. A photographic memory. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have what you call a photographic memory. And I can see something, hear something, and remember it. You know, scripture, all kind of stuff from a little boy. A little boy, my daddy used to marvel. I think my dad is even on the phone. But he used to marvel at how he could be going, he could be going down the freeway on the other side of, like, going to Berkeley, and somebody could be going to East Oakland. And I would see their car and say, hey, Daddy, there goes Uncle. And he would call his brother later on, and John, was you on the freeway going? And his brother would say yes. So the Lord has given me that type of gift where I can have that photo, that memory, be able to. But anyway, so and when I was 6 years old, I was on my way to school, and it was about 8:15 in the morning, and I got hit by a car. So let's back up. When I was born, with a collapsed lung and pneumonia. Okay, so the devil's been trying to snuff me out all my life because I have a calling from God to be here. And the devil knows that. Mm-hmm. He's scared of that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I got hit by a car, and, you know, I had to recuperate from that. And then as I moved to Southern California, you know, I didn't go to church. I tried to find a church. For years, we didn't go to church. So I started hanging out with guys at school, and we would go to the school on Friday night, and we'd have somebody buy us some wine. So I'm starting to get my head bad, you know?
And, yeah.
So then I progressed and found a church and got back in church and accepted the Lord. I knew I needed him as my personal Lord and Savior when I was about 15. And sang in the choir, and as a result of that, my parents got saved. As a result of that, my parents got saved. They came to this church, and they had ministers there from Campus Crusade for Christ. And my parents, my dad was to a point where he said, I need the Lord. I got to get this right. My family. You know, the Bible says that if a man would give up his life, say that the others could be saved from it. He wanted his children to be saved, all four of them. And so anyway, as I'm going to this church, I get my own car now. So here I go. I would go to church. And then they had activity going on around the corner from the church. And I would go to church, and then I would ease on down the street after church, go to the bar at 15 and 16, 17 years old, you know. So anyway, God has just been good to me. He's kept me through all that, and he's taught me lessons in that. So anyway, I'm going to speed up a little bit to when it had got to be in 1981. I mean, I was out there. I had just turned my back on God, and I was just, my dad had a church on the street, and I'm doing stuff, selling drugs, and had women out there on the street. And my dad came to me and he said, son, I'm trying to save lives and you're destroying lives. Why don't you just go somewhere else? You know, and he basically disinherited. He said, I'm cutting you off until you get yourself right, man. You know? And so I went on, and I went to San Francisco. Praise God that I had grandparents that were loving, and they, you know, they didn't, they allowed me to, if I needed to come there to their house to recoup or to live or to keep my belongings safe, I could do that. But in the same time, I would go to church with my grandmother. And then my daddy's father would ask me to come take him to church on Sundays. So I would go to Berkeley and take my grandfather to church, and I'd go to church with him. But I'm still living a carnal life. But God was still merciful. So then one day, I was really, I hadn't been to church in about a year. People was handing out those flyers and trying to get people saved, and I didn't even want the flyer. Like, just get away from me with that stuff, because I know I didn't want to, I was out there. I didn't want to mix God, play with God anymore. If I was going to be on God's side, I was going to be there. But I wasn't going to be reading his word and living the life that I was living. I wasn't going to have that double standard. And the Lord allowed some man that I knew to stab me in the heart. On June the 11th of 1981, and he stabbed me right in front of a police precinct. But yet it took the ambulance 45 minutes to get there to come get me. I lost all the blood in my body. Okay. I got to the hospital, they were waiting for me outside, and they cut me open outside, and they started doing what they had to do to save my life. And I mean, God was working through those doctors. Okay?
Because now, was this a friend of yours?
It was an acquaintance. Oh, okay. Somebody I knew.
It wasn't a friend.
It was just somebody else. So anyway, I come to find out that San Francisco General Hospital had the best trauma unit in the world at that time, and God knew that. You know what I'm saying? So I was went to that hospital. I had 17 hours of open heart surgeries, about 3 cardiac arrests. When I came to, my mama and daddy was right there with my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
You know, after he told me he was done with me, he was right there. So, you know, that's how the Lord is. No matter what, he's going to be right there with open arms,
trying to
receive you back to him. And so I came back to Riverside, cut that lifestyle out for about a year, got stronger. And then, I don't know, I think I lost my job or just got tired of, you know, that type of going to work, and it just was boring to me. So I went right back to San Francisco. And the next thing I know, I was in Hawaii. I lived in Hawaii selling drugs and running women for 10 years. And I came back to California and was selling drugs in Hollywood. And selling drugs in Hollywood, got arrested several times, should have went to prison, but God, okay? I had a situation where the judge was like, I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to let you go home. So then I got out of that and came home, and I started, I got to do something else. I started getting, you know, sincere about my walk with the Lord. And I let the Lord bless me with a wife. And so I was going to the doctor at Kaiser, and that's where I went. I mean, that was my hospital when I got stabbed, when I came back down here. My dad worked for a Kaiser, and he was able to get me a membership. So anyway, I went to the hospital at Kaiser in Fontana, and the doctor told me that I needed to have my, that in 20 years, I would have to have my mitral valve replaced. So I put it off, because that pain was so, oh, my good. But then to cut on you and break your bones. So anyway, September the 5th of 2005, I had to have that surgery, or it was going to be that if I had it any time after, that the valve, my body would reject the valve and I would die. So I had the surgery and there was complications, but the Lord brought me out. The Lord brought me out. And then I had to start taking Coumadin, which is a blood thinner.
Blood thinner, yeah.
And I'm on Coumadin to this day because my blood has to stay thin enough for it to run through that valve. Okay?
No.
And so 2006, I started going to the doctor, to the Kaiser Clinic out there in Highland, because I lived in Highland. And I noticed that there was some funny stuff going on inside of me, noises and stuff. So the doctor said, "You have hernias." So I went, and he said, "I can do the hernia surgery. You just stop your Coumadin 14 days before the surgery, take these Lovenox shots, and you'll be fine." Well, didn't happen like that. I stopped the Coumadin.
Oh, man.
The shots. On June the 1st of 2006, I went in at about 6 o'clock in the evening. I came home, got out of there. It was an in-and-out surgery at Kaiser Fontana, an in-and-out surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out at 9 o'clock, went home, and I had to continuously take the Lovenox shots for 7 more days. So I would take the shots, and I noticed that my stomach was all black and blue. Something was wrong. And then I noticed that I was sleeping in a lot of pain. And so then on the ninth, I told my wife, "We have to go back to the hospital. Something's wrong." I could hardly walk. I was all in pain, bent over. So we went back to Kaiser Fontana. We went to the emergency. And my wife got a wheelchair. And now keep in mind, my wife was 4'9", okay? I'm about 5'8", and I weighed about 250 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So she took me in there, and they said, "You're going to have to just go to urgent care because this isn't serious. You know, you're okay." And I was like, "Baby, something's wrong. Let's go to Riverside." By the time we got to Riverside, I had went into a coma.
What?
And I was in a coma on life support on dialysis for 55 days. And all
for how
the time
long?
While I was in 55.
Whoa.
And all the time while I was in that coma, all I saw was mountains of hands. You know, so then I got out of that hospital, woke up, and I had atrophy. I couldn't walk. All my muscles had left my body. I had lost my quad muscles from being in that, all that blood that was in my abdomen killed my quad muscles. And so, I began to search the scriptures. And in Jeremiah, the Lord showed me in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, and he said something like this: "Because of all your sins, I have to punish you. I'm going to hit you with a disease or a problem, but it won't kill you." But then the thing says like this. He says, "But I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of all your wounds." So I can just say that God is faithful. And when he did that for me, I mean, today, I'm not on dialysis. Like when I woke up, my liver and my kidneys came back. Okay, when I went into that coma, my liver and my kidneys shut down. So when I woke up, my liver and my kidneys came back. And it was just
praise
a process to progress to learn to walk again. As I was learning to walk again, I fell and cracked both my kneecaps.
Oh,
and I couldn't have,
man.
And that happened on September 15th of 2007. And I went back to Kaiser Riverside. And it said, yeah, you cracked your. I said, man, I know I cracked them. I felt them when it was on the ground, when I got off the ground. And I crawled back in the house. And I said, well, can you? He said, I can fix them. I could put plates and screws and you'll be good as new. I said, well, is it a possibility that I could bleed and die? He said, yes, it's a possibility. I said, well, the Lord's just going to have to heal me this time again. And so they gave me the braces that you put on your top of your clothes, on the top of your legs. I slept in those braces. And the only time I could take them off was when I got in the shower for 120 days. And my kneecaps hit back. My testimony to people is no matter where you've been. I mean, I was lower than the earth as far as having any rights to call on the Lord or anything, you know. But every time I called on Him, every time I needed Him, He showed up. You know, the Bible says that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So,
I don't know
if anybody else is going through in their life, where they are with their, you know, daily vices. You know, there's no sin that God does not understand. There's another scripture in the Bible that says we have not a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our sins, our problems. But at all points, He's there for us. He understands. He knows. You know, and God knows everything that's in our head even before we recognize we thought it. God knew it before we even born. You know? So today I'm just really rejoicing and telling people about the goodness of the Lord, about what He's done for me. You know, He's a healer. I walk pretty good. You know, I don't have no dialysis. You know, my blood is good. You know, my heart is good. My heart, I don't have heart problems, no heart attacks. No, and they say I have COPD, you know, from all the stuff I put in my body. It's toxic. You know, and last time, about maybe 6-7 months ago, I went to my breathing doctor. What do you call those doctors? My pulmonary doctor.
Pulmonary.
Pulmonary doctor, Dr. Bradburn in Riverside. And they gave me a test. And he said, I don't know how you're sitting here without oxygen. I don't know how you don't have an oxygen tank. I don't know why you got a smile on your face. I don't know how you're doing it. And I said, well, because I got Jesus. And
amen.
He is my rock. He is my strength. And he makes sure. And the doctor and I, he turned around. He said, you're a Christian? He said, so am I. So we sat in his office talking to the doctor, you know, about the Lord. So he's available. And he wants to save us all. You know, there's some wicked, wicked, wicked stuff going on in this world. People are getting
killed
at an all-time high. You know?
Yeah.
7,000 people in Turkey just an earthquake. Just could we stand an earthquake like that in the United States? You know, but you know what? The United States is God's got to be upset because of the things and the practice of the people that He has been so good to. You know,
we
have to get it out. We have to let people know that God loves them. And God wants you to have a better life, an abundant life, and that to the full, till it overflows. You know, and that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, money and cash, but it means prosperity to me means for me to have control over my circumstances, opposed to my circumstances having control over me, you know?
Yeah, I'm right.
So,
yes, indeed.
So, I mean, that's pretty much all, you know, the Lord has given me. You have any questions? Anybody have any questions?
All this time that I've known you, I had no idea you went through all the things that you went through. I mean, my goodness, you should have a testimony. Come look at you
now, man.
You're strong in the Lord. Yes. You're strong in the Lord, and you've been ministering to people. You even, I get the text that you send me when you send me encouraging words, you know, and things about the Lord, you know, that's a blessing. And, you know, I'm just amazed, you know, that you came through all of that and you came out strong. Strong, you know.
Yes, and stronger, because I'm going to tell you something.
Stronger.
You know, when I think about it, when I've talked to some people, well, how come you ain't crazy, man? How come you just haven't went nowhere and gave up? Because it's not in me. You know, that's not the spirit that God has embedded in me, you know? I'm a fighter. I'm fighting for the kingdom, you know?
Oh,
and,
amen.
Some people would just, man, fold their hands and just wait for death. No, that's not what the Lord has given me to do. That's not on my agenda. That's not on my agenda. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something else. As I think about it, you know, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, of the righteous man availeth much. You know, I know when I was in those comas and had that heart surgery and was in trouble, you know, my mama, my daddy were praying, you know. My grandparents were praying, you know. My brothers, my sisters were praying, you know. So it's not by nothing that, but, you know, all this works together for good, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure whoever could be being accused by the devil, by the enemy, that you've done too much wrong, that God can't forgive you, that God can't use you, don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie. Because He allows us to go through these tests so He can show Himself strong on our behalf, and then so we can tell somebody else.
Strengthen others.
That's why He allows us to go through things. That's why these things come, to build up our character, to build us up. So
that's
we can say, look what the Lord has done. You know, when I was growing up, and that was my mother's grandparents that I would go see in Louisiana. So that was my great-grandfather, my mother's grandfather.
Oh, your great-grandfather. Oh, okay.
Yes, that was my great-grandfather. But when we would be there, my mother's, my grandmother, my mother's mother's sister would come from Detroit. And then sometimes my Uncle Sherman, my grandmother's brother would come from Los Angeles. But anyway, mm-hmm. my grandfather, great-grandfather, he had a little bitty book. And my mama, she thinks she might have that book. But it's called, the way that she would call it is Papa Charge Book. You know, his favorite song was, and this song has been embedded in me. And a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never dying soul fitted for the sky. And then the second verse says, with all of my endeavors, I'm going to do to prove to do my master's will, that at my day my calling would be sure to fulfill. And that's where I am. Got to fulfill my calling. So however
right.
I can be used, wherever I can be used, to lift up the name of Jesus, the Lord's going to allow that to happen. Amen?
Yeah, and and it's happening. It's happening in your life.
Right.
You know, besides, like a lot of people went through a lot of the things that you're talking about, maybe, and it's been some stuff, but even besides the fact that, you had went into the world and doing drugs and women and all of that, and then some people come out of that, they come to the Lord and they came out of that, but you had other things as well. It was, you came out of that with the drugs and all of that, but then the accidents and the sickness, somebody stabbing you in the heart and you actually trying to recover, and while you're trying to recover from some other sickness, you fall and break your kneecaps. I mean, come on,
that's
a lot. And you had, and the Lord brought you through all of that, man. That is something. And the thing is what I like is that you was like, well, the Lord is just going to have to heal me from this, and he healed your knees. I mean, that's great.
That was a testimony.
That's mercy.
That was a testimony to those people at that hospital. That was proof that God is real. And even after because I weighed 245, 49 pounds,
I can't see that. You're so small.
When I
could never imagine you would do anything.
Yeah, I was that big.
Right.
When I went into that, when I had that hernia removal surgery, I was that big. And when I went and I lost 100 pounds in the hospital. So when I got out of the hospital, I weighed like 155 pounds. Yeah, when I got out the hospital, I lost 100 pounds because there was no eating.
Yeah.
They were just feeding me with those fluids or whatever. I was on medication.
Right, right.
And so I went back to Kaiser a couple of times in the intensive care. And I would, do you know who I am? Do you remember me? To the nurses. And they would be like, no, who are you? And I'm like, I'm Mr. Forbes. And they went like, what? You're such a little man. Because you look so big. You were so swollen. You look like you were about 6'3", and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but God.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, too, because we talked to someone else, a couple of other people that went to St. Paul's AME Church. Who actually was the pastor there?
The pastor was Albert Leroy Carter at that time. Yes. Albert Leroy Carter. If you go
now,
to
are you
that
still
church,
there?
They have...
San
Bernardino. But he went to Omaha, Nebraska. Because in the AME church, they have a conference, and the bishop can move you around. And so he moved Pastor Carter. After Pastor Carter had burnt the mortgage, he moved Pastor Carter. So then Pastor Carter came back one Sunday, and he was preaching, and Pastor Carter had a heart attack in the pulpit or something.
What?
And he died. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But his favorite song was I Will Trust in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's where I am today. I will trust.
Amen.
In the Lord
Amen.
Until I die. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And I just want somebody to know that it's okay. Don't allow the enemy to make you feel like your life, your story doesn't count.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like there's
66
books of the Bible, but each mm-hmm. one of those people had a story to tell. Correct?
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
And so if each one of us have a story to tell about what God did
yeah.
for us, look how many more books of the Bible added to the Bible that there would be. And that's where we live. You know, that's where we live. We have to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have some
that's
people
right.
we're praying for. Arthur, you are very inspiring. I know that they're listening. We have some people that have repeat cancer in different areas, you know, and they're overcoming. They will overcome in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Yes.
And
some advice. I'm sorry, Sister T, Pastor T. Go ahead.
No, you could speak. Go ahead.
Yeah, what were you saying?
I was going to say the thing that I did when I realized that God had brought me out, I'm still here. I got in my
mm-hmm.
word, and I took this. I looked up healing scriptures, you know, and I studied those scriptures, and I let those scriptures get in me to where I believe
mm-hmm.
them. You know, it's no doubt in my mind. You know, there's nothing that can happen in my life that I don't. That I know God can't handle, you know, because
right.
he's the same God back then. He's the same today, tomorrow. He changes not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get in your word, and you have to get the scripture that fits where you are.
And
you
believe
know?
Mm-hmm.
And believe
and apply
it. Stand on
mm-hmm.
it.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
say it every time something might hurt. Every time that it comes to your mind that you're dealing with this, because, see, those are just those fiery darts that the devil
right.
throws. Because if he can get you to believe that you're not going to make it, you know, that's
yeah.
part of the battle right there, what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You can. You can.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
That's,
I know,
and see, and I like that.
I have a grandson. Let me tell you this story, and I'm gonna be quiet. I have a grandson.
No, don't be quiet.
You didn't come on to be quiet, so you're right speaking.
Okay, I have
yeah,
a grandson.
So
his name is Jordan. Jordan, he's 2 years old. I mean, when he was 2 years old, okay, I would go by their house in the evening, and he went and got his bath, and he came back and. It was summertime, and it was October, actually, September, and it was still warm, so he had on a little short pajamas, and me and him was on the couch eating chips and playing and laughing, and, you know, then I picked him up, and I felt something on his calf, and I said, now, Mandel, Michael, what is this? And they were like, we don't know. I said, y'all better get that checked out. So they took
mm-hmm.
him to Loma Linda, that's his hospital, and found out he had some kind of really deadly cancer.
What?
And, he lost all of his hair.
Mm.
I mean, he was in a battle for, but then this last year, March the 15th, he's cancer-free. He's 5 years old. He's 5 years
Praise
old now.
Praise the Lord.
All his hair is back.
Mm.
he's happy. He's, you know, but even when he was sick, he was still playing because he didn't know he was sick. He did, you know, they don't know.
Right.
And that's
right.
Amazing. That's a big thing because, you know, when you know something, you'll let it affect you differently. So he didn't know he was
right,
sick.
Right, exactly.
Like, you know, but anyway, so I've seen it with my own eyes, and my prayer was, Lord, you did it for me. You brought me through. I mean, when I got when I got that blood transfusion, 5 liters of blood, there was no AIDS, there was no hepatitis C, there was nothing in there that could kill me, you know. And in 1981, they didn't check blood, and they didn't check,
right.
You know, but they just gave it to you, you know.
Yeah,
so God kept me.
That's true.
God kept me. God kept me, you know, because I could have got something that had AIDS
that's
in
right.
it, you know, HIV.
That's absolutely right.
But God.
Yeah.
But God. So just whoever's being hit with these fiery darts, know that the best is yet to come, and it's not over until God says it's over. You
that's
have to
right.
keep on keeping on. Amen.
That's right.
Keep on
Amen.
Fighting.
Amen.
Because we are on the battlefield for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You can say that again.
And we understand all that, too. We've been through a lot of unspoken things. You can't even go through them all because we don't have the time right now. But you do. You got to press in, and you got to believe that who God is, that he's real and he's alive. And we don't just serve. We serve a really good God. I remember when I was a single parent, I had no medical, period. And so if my kid got sick, I used to have to just pray. And that was it worked every time. It worked.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, yeah. Arthur, can we have you do something like pray for the people that are listening? For their faith, for those that have lost hope or lost faith. And, you know, for those that need to know that Jesus is the great healer and healing is the children's bread.
Okay.
Yeah, we have about 2 minutes, Arthur, so it's all yours.
Okay. Okay. All-wise and eternal God, our Heavenly Father, once and again we come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this day that you have made, O God, and we choose to rejoice in it, thanking you that you included us in your day. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, those that are being hit with sickness and disease, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch right now, that you would heal in the name of Jesus. For you said in your word, I will restore health unto you, and I will heal you of all your diseases, said the Lord of hosts. Father, you also said that by the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that we are healed. So, Father, they need healing. Father, they need some hope. And, Father, just give them a touch of your grace, of your mercy, of your loving kindness, Father, to just let them know that, hey, I'm right here. Because I said I would never leave you nor forsake you. I'd be with you till the end of the age. Now, Father, I just ask that you just move, Father, like never before. The Word of God says, where two or three are gathered in your name, you're here in the midst of us. And I know your ear is not deaf, that you can't hear the prayers. And, Father, I know your hand is not short, that you can't reach out and touch. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that it is done by faith. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for Pastor T&T, Father, and this ministry that they have. I thank you for the work that they're doing for the kingdom. Thank you that you're going to replenish them and bless them in a mighty way, oh God, beyond their wildest dreams. And anything that is plaguing their lives, Father, that you are going to to attack it and take it away in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you for this time that I've spent with them. I thank you for your loving kindness that is better than life. I thank you that you love us so much that you gave your son, Jesus Christ, to die for each and every one of us. And he rose again. So as he rose again, that same power is in each one of us if we believe. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Beautiful prayer. And now we're gonna have to leave. Our time has ran out. Thank you. Thank you, Arthur, for just being
all
a blessing
right.
to us tonight. And you've strengthened a lot
glory.
Of people. God bless you. Amen.
Thanks.
We
God
will see everyone again. Amen. And we will see everybody again next week at the same time. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.